think we should still record something, dude.
It's not up to me. It's up to the technology. I've done everything I can at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'll pass that buck right onto
the... I plug the cords in. I push the button. There's nothing else I can do. We either have a show or we don't have a show.
Well, I think we should have a show. We have concerns. Anthony Carboni.
Yes, Jeff Cannata.
I have here a very interesting article for you.
Oh.
This is actually the OKCupid blog. Why are you reading the OKCupid blog, Jeff?
Because the OKCupid blog rules. Well, it really... No, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever seen this.
Oh,
and
man.
I've now just instantly become a fan of OKCupid's blog.
They post
blog.
Like a lot of interesting research and correlations on their data and things like that. They're kind of awesome.
Well, this guy, Christian Rutter, posted... I guess he's a mucky muck over at the OKCupid. He posted this blog about how everybody got all freaked out when... Facebook said, hey, we're taking your data and we're
taking our what?
Your data. What? How did I say that?
Taking our data.
Data. I wanted to say data and data at the same time. So yeah. I came out data. And they're experimenting with it.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, guess what, guys? That's the internet. We all experiment with your data. And guess what? We learned some really cool stuff.
That's why I wasn't as freaked out as I think everybody else was when I read that about Facebook, because I don't know. Genuinely, everything they do is just manipulation. Like everything you go, every website you go to is doing A/B testing. They're doing right. layout testing. Like you go to Google or YouTube sometimes, and you look at it and you go, "This isn't the way it looked this morning. Is this a little different? This feels like it's." And nine
you like
times
this
out
better,
of ten,
though, don't you, Anthony?
I don't know. I just wanted to hit compose, and I feel like the button was a little bigger before. I don't think it matters.
You like bigger buttons, don't you, Anthony?
I haven't really thought about it. I don't think you need to think about it, Google.
I'm thinking about it all the time, Anthony. The thing that's crazy about this particular bit of information is it's talking about people falling in love with each other or dating.
Yeah.
Which is a fascinating thing anyway, because I feel like we're at the first point in human history where we have massive amounts of data about that. I mean, you have census, I guess, stuff from years past.
The 1934 U.S. Census says here that women who darn more socks get hit less.
Honey, some weird questions on the census form this year.
Okay.
Did you wear socks this week?
No, you wore the socks this week. And then next week, the children get to split the socks.
And I still beat the crap out of you, is that right?
What do they mean by beat the crap?
Well, they
say... You certainly do rough me up, George.
So here's the experiments that he's talking about they did on OKCupid. The first he called Love is Blind. On one day, they took down all pictures on OKCupid. So you couldn't see who you were talking to.
Did it become like a magical utopia?
Yes. In a word, yes. They said that people... responded to the first message that they got 44% more often than they would with pictures, that conversations went deeper, and that contact details, including phone numbers and emails, were exchanged more quickly.
Wow, yes, of course.
Everybody was like, wow, these people are fascinating.
I want to know if, you know, these people sent the first messages, they talked longer, did they actually set up dates, and then did people wind up dating people that they normally wouldn't be physically attracted to?
Well, the weird thing is it only lasted until 4 o'clock that day, and then they basically turned the lights on everybody, and all the pictures appeared, and they said that at that very moment, at 4 o'clock, 2,200 people were in the middle of conversations that had started blind, and those conversations stopped. Nobody talked. They went, oh, crap.
Okay, so
I've been talking to a wildebeest this entire time.
Here's the thing. They started off doing something pretty noble and admirable, I think. I think that's pretty rad. You'll just have to get to know each other without pictures. You'll just have to do it. And, you know, maybe you go out and maybe without looking at each other and worrying so much about appearances, you really find true love. But no, they didn't do that.
No.
They basically played a fucking prank on it. They were just like, oh, yeah, oh, it looks like you two are getting along. No, you will never speak again.
Take a look at the face of the person you've been talking to.
Well, they say that arranged marriages have a higher rate of happiness.
Oh, is that so?
Than people who freely get married, who know each other beforehand. Like, arranged marriages have this incredibly high level of, like, compatibility and just healthy relationships and stuff like that.
I think that's the problem with choice. Do you want this for dinner or that for dinner? I guess that. And then you go, well, I could have had the other thing. Whereas arranged marriage is, you're getting that for dinner. Boy, that Well, I'm glad I got dinner.
She seems lovely. She seems lovely. I'm married. This is great.
Yeah,
this is, I needed to get married, and now I am. And
right.
There's no getting out of it. So here we go.
Yeah, it's that thing. That's that American thing of we have everything so much, and oh God, let's figure out what we're gonna have tonight for dinner. You know that
it's ridiculous, man. We went. So you know, I'm vegetarian, but I don't often hang out with other people who are. So I got used to going to the restaurant. And there are three things usually. There's usually a salad, some sort of veggie burger, and then some sort of pasta.
I think you only get the veggie burger option because you're in LA. I don't think most places have a veggie burger option.
So, yeah, and that's the thing is like it's normally fewer options than that.
Right.
So I usually look at the menu and I'm like, that, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We went to
the arranged marriage of menus.
The arranged marriage of menus. My mom and my fiance yesterday took me to a vegan restaurant. With a huge menu, and I sat and I just stared at the menu, and I was like, I was freaking out. I didn't know what I wanted. I couldn't tell. Like, it looked good, but it all looked bad. It all looked right, but it all looked wrong. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, this is what it was like before I stopped eating meat. This is what it's like to have options in your life. Most people just want their freedom taken away.
We'd all be so much happier.
And I am one of them. Most people just want their free will kind of removed.
Just eat the fucking Soylent Green and be happy about it.
I have had very, very serious thoughts in my life multiple times about setting up the Steve Jobs Inspector Gadget closet. There was this episode of Inspector Gadget where he opens up his closet and it's literally all gray trench coats.
Oh, and, I gotcha. I didn't understand where Steve Jobs fit in, but he's the turtleneck.
He's just the black turtleneck.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at that and I'm like, yo,
yeah,
that's the way. Let's just eliminate all unnecessary choice from our lives.
I went to a private elementary school where I had to wear a uniform to school.
How was that?
I hated it. Hated every second of it.
But then what happened when you left that elementary school and you were in a school where you could choose your clothes?
Well, then I just got made fun of for having the Pumas instead of the Nikes, you know?
And see?
So, but the thing that was crazy about going to a school where I had school uniforms is that we would find any way to express ourselves through the uniform. Like there was the kid at recess, we'd flip our collars up. Can't do that in class because the teachers would get mad. But during recess, flip your collars up. There were certain ways that we had this like red sweater that went with our little outfit. Mm-hmm. And there were certain ways to tie the red sweater around your waist or around your shoulders, whatever. And people who did that were in certain cliques and people who didn't were in other, you know, so people manufacture in groups and out groups.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny. Like, people will manufacture originality, but also manufacture conflict, right? Like,
that's true, too.
They will also manufacture, like, hey, notice you tie your sweater around your waist.
Yeah, man, I thought that's what we were doing last week.
What, do you not have shoulders?
I was going to put them around my shoulders, but then I was over at the other part of the playground, you know, where the swings are, and there's some kids that were all doing it with around their waist.
You were over at the swings?
The swing's not in this week.
Kanata, you're the worst person.
I just want to play some tetherball with you guys. Is that all right?
No, it's not all right.
Oh, man.
Now only flip up half your collar.
Oh, that's really difficult to actually do. It kind of flips the whole thing.
Yeah, that's your punishment. Oh. None of us actually do that.
Oh, man.
But if you don't figure out how to do it, we're going to beat you up.
I can't wait until my voice drops.
Yeah, also, we're all 19.
Me too.
This is an Ivy League New England college.
Yeah, I know. I guess don't want to play tetherball or what?
No, I mean, like, look, man, that's part of the problem. It's not so much that swings are uncool. You're 19 years old. There are kids that want to ride those swings.
I didn't build them here. You know, I just want to ride on them. Swings never go out of style.
But the next year, Jeff grew 3.5 feet.
No, who wants the swings?
I'll push you on the swings, Mr. Kanata.
So the second experiment he was talking about is they asked people to rate other profiles in two categories, personality and looks. And they wanted to track if people associated personality with looks or if they could actually differentiate the two and put them in separate buckets. And so they had people rate their personality and looks. And then on some of the profiles that they asked people to rate, they just removed all text. So all you got was a picture. And it had zero result on the outcome. So people rated them. It's a direct line.
Oh my gosh.
People rated them exactly the same, whether they had words or not.
That's so funny. And that kind of leads back to, there have been a bunch of studies done about the way we rate certain facial features.
Yeah.
There was a study done about what we consider to be the face of a dumb or aggressive man, mm-hmm. right?
You're looking at it.
And you better stop looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, are you looking at it?
You got a problem? It's what actually probably popped into your head. It's a more pronounced brow. It's wider set eyes. It's a wider jaw. All that stuff is considered to be the face, no matter what, of a sort of aggressive man. That's a dude that's going to be like a bully.
Right.
And we automatically think of that person as a bully, whether that's true or not. And it's this sort of leftover thing from when facial traits really didn't have as much differentiation as they do now. So I'm not surprised by that. What I want to know how they collected that data. Like, did they present it to some people as you're just going to see faces and you have to rate personalities?
No, they said that people didn't even notice. And where's the exact quote?
So sometimes they got text. The same person would sometimes get text and sometimes not get text.
Yeah, so we took a small sample of users, and half the time we showed them, we hid their profile text. That generated two independent sets of scores for each profile, one score for the picture and the text together, and one for the picture alone. And they're essentially exactly the same. He said, the text is less than 10% of what people think of you.
This is why things like Tinder and Grindr, that's just do it. Just do it that way. Just do it that way. I've watched people just obsess over their OkCupid profiles. Just, I have to have the right opening line. I have to make sure I'm listing the right bands. I got to make sure that I sound like clever, but not douchey. No, you don't. You got to take a shower, comb your hair, and fucking get on Tinder.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do, man.
Well, yeah. I think that for that initial
get met, and then talk.
Well, it's the get met part that everybody's all hung up on. But, you know, there has to be that second layer down.
Hey, man, it's real easy. Just get born attractive.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got
to
do.
It also helps to get born wealthy. Are we celebrating shallowness? Well, the next experiment digs a little deeper. So allow me to explain that one. This one, he was worried about the fact that OkCupid tells you you have a 90% match. It's like, hey, this person 90% match, and then they tend to have success that way. And he's like, oh, well, maybe that's proof that our service really works, or it's proof that we just told people they were a 90% match and they believed us. So they did this thing where they started telling people they were a 90% match when they were only a 30% match, and vice versa. And guess what? The results were very, very little variation. It were almost exactly the same. So basically, it doesn't really matter. It says, mere myth of compatibility works just as well as the truth.
This is a study in suggestibility. This is a study in...
This is how psychics work.
It's totally how psychics work. Our brain wants to construct and reconstruct reality to go around any belief that we have.
Right.
Our brain is like Russian nesting dolls. It is. It's basically, it's
my brain is like American nesting dolls.
It's like an American nesting doll. No, so it's basically we have this lizard brain, and then around it we evolved this like mammal brain, and then around it we evolved this kind of hominid brain, and then around that we have the cool human part of the brain.
Right.
And
so thin layer of cool human brain.
And it's a thin layer, and it's the first layer to get damaged if you ever get a head injury.
Right.
It's
slept wrong.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But so basically the deal with it is this. You would think that with this outer layer that gives us the ability to repress our urges and logically look at things and logically look at what we believe, we would do that more. But actually, what we tend to do is let the lizard brain make a decision.
Right.
And then based on that decision, our human part of the brain just rationalize.
Yeah, it works backwards.
It works backwards.
I want that.
Then
it's like, well, let's figure out how to justify wanting that.
Exactly. If you are looking for a compatible match, if you're on OkCupid all day sifting through and trying to find love,
right?
And it goes, this person is 90% likely to be love. And then you go out and you meet up with them and it's like, you're not feeling it? you have a tendency to believe anything else other than you guys aren't a match. Oh, right. You know what? Like, maybe she was having an off night. Maybe I'm off my game.
Well, it's also the Stanford experiment, right? The respecting authority. You've bought into this authority that says, hey, our computers have found you to be a 90% match. And you're like, wow, those computers probably know way more than I do.
That's all the computer's there to do.
Right.
All the computer's there to do all day is find a match. So the second it says there's a match, you're like, thank God. Because it's easier than spending 4 days looking in, like, trying to figure out whether the algorithm is really working the way it
is. Or having a conversation.
Yeah, don't have a conversation. Just swipe left or right, America. But this is interesting because it sort of throws a monkey wrench into everything, right? Knowing this about ourselves and knowing that internet companies do this and knowing it, if you worry about this too much or if you think about this consistently, it gets to the point where you never want to do anything. You turn into a tinfoil hat guy, don't you?
I guess.
Well, are they messing with the data? Okay, well, is the data correct? Is the data not correct? Can I trust these people? Can I not trust these people? Do I really want this? Do I just think I want this? That's tiring.
Right.
That's really tiring. That takes a lot out of your brain, and it also starts to eat away at your fundamental ability to trust society.
Well, or it can feel like, hey, no matter what, all the data basically shows me the same thing. So why worry about it?
Well, exactly.
I mean, you can take it that way, too.
You just let it all go, man. And that's why I'm saying, don't, like, if you're worried about OkCupid or other dating sites messing with your data, just use Tinder. I'm serious. If it just feels like, hey, why not? Let's go out. I think, you know what? People on OkCupid worry so much about whether something's a match or not a match, whether somebody seems cool or doesn't seem cool. I never used OkCupid.
Neither have I.
I think I missed, like, its real explosion into legitimacy and everything.
Right.
I had already just kind of, like, I was a little too old, I guess, to ever think about using it. But I'll tell you what, man, if I was using OkCupid, I would use it just like, hey, you seem cool, you want to go out? Hey, you seem cool, you want to go out? Hey, you seem cool, you want to go out? And I just go out with everybody.
That's,
man.
I met my fiance on Match.com. That's kind of how I use that service is, hey, here's a way for me to meet so many more people than I would ever meet before. I feel like we're in the first part of human evolution where we don't have to date within our social circle.
Yeah.
You don't have to know someone to date them. You can go out on the internet and all of a sudden you're in this much larger pool of people. And I was meeting people that I never would have come across in life.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting and interesting.
That's the way I just dated, like, when I was in New York, and I was that was, like, the most date-heavy part of my life, and I was just like, I don't know if I would normally go out with this person, but
right.
I just met them, and they seem okay. I'll hang out with them once and see what happens.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe they're horrible. I'm gonna guess they're not. Most people aren't. You know?
Yeah, well, that's
this
the other
person
thing.
isn't, you know, the physical type I usually go for. This person isn't into the stuff that I'm usually into, but fuck it. What am I going to do? I'm going to go home and watch Netflix? Fuck it. Let's go out.
So all those girls that you dated,
yeah.
Anthony has a little message for you. You were better than Netflix.
I don't know if they were better than Netflix. Some of them weren't. Sometimes I wish I was like, man, I should have watched Netflix. But that's dating. And that's, I don't know. I feel like to worry so much about a website that's going to crunch data and numbers and stuff for you, As shallow as things like Tinder seem, and as shallow as it seems, that I'm just like, fuck yeah, Tinder. Fuck yeah,
right.
Swiping when you see somebody who looks mildly cool. I feel like that's just the way to go about dating. That person seems mildly cool. Let's do this. And, you know, and like, if they're not, that's fine. And if I run into somebody cooler, that's fine too.
Yeah, like, no, I'm with you. And I think,
okay, Cupid's lying to me, but they're still putting people in front of my face, like, I'll go out with a bunch of them, and if I feel like OkCupid's not working, I just don't use OkCupid.
Well,
But what we just found is I'm going to feel like it's working.
Right.
I will
Whether
never
it's
feel,
working or not.
I will never feel like they're the problem.
Right, that's true.
Because at our core, we're lonely and we hate ourselves, and we will blame ourselves for everything. So just date everybody OkCupid throws in front of you.
If there's one thing to take away from the show.
Yeah.
It's that we're lonely and we hate ourselves.
Yeah, the more we go through this, the more episodes we go. I don't know if you're catching a theme.
Yeah.
But I'm just basically like, humans are basically self-loathing. Do whatever the fuck you want.
I mean, my take is a little different than that. But yeah, it's, I mean, ultimately we get to the same end game. I just think exposing yourself to more experiences is what the technology allows for. And that's, I think that's really cool. And I'm on record saying, take my data because I want a Foundation-esque utopian future where people can tell me what's going to happen based on my psychohistory.
And,
but,
and you know what? If you're worried about the way people are using your data, stop giving it to them.
I guess, but there's not really any way to function in society without giving people your data.
You can function without Facebook. You can function without
I'm not saying without Facebook, but there's you know, these stories of people who've tried to protect, insulate themselves from all information, and they just have to live these sad excuses for lives. It's you're just giving up all of our modern advancements in order to accomplish very, very little. Because really, who cares? I think I think that all this experimentation.
Jeff Cannot, a freedom fighter.
Hey man,
yeah, fuck it. Just give up to the machine, man. Give it up. What up, machine?
Yeah, dude. I for one welcome our
The machine looks down like the sun from a box of Raisin Bran. Just like it just winks at you. It's just Big Brother glowing yellow winking at you. Like,
thanks for your data, Jeff.
You're welcome, faceless machine of society. By the way, looks like you're not as useful as you used to be. Report to a suicide booth this afternoon.
Wait a minute, a suicide booth? Why, that doesn't sound... Oh.
Two scoops of equality for everyone.
Oh, that sounds delicious, and yet suicide doesn't sound very fun. Oh, man.
No, did you know how many times you've masturbated today?
You're above the average!
Well, I guess that's good. Above average is good.
I like to be above average in anything.
Yeah.
And you know what? Considering that I've devoted more time to that than most of my hobbies, to know that I'm above average in it would be actually very comforting.
I think I could go pro, personally.
And that's why you just swipe right to everybody. Swipe right to everybody is the takeaway here. If you guys have seen anything lately that you'd like us to discuss, hey, maybe you're on OkCupid and you want us to just push your profile out to everybody. Let us know.
We're willing to do it, man. We're not above it.
We'll link your profile.
You can give us a subscription and maybe a review on iTunes. We'll do it.
Yep. And just send anything you've seen that you want us to talk about to wehaveconcerns.com/ask or hit us up on Twitter. I am @acarboni.
And I am @JeffCanada.